Folks, first and foremost, on behalf of Matt and myself, we apologize. If this has put your weekly walk or your Monday morning breakfast or your afternoon Monday snack, Matt, if this has put that behind their normal weekly schedule, we apologize, but we're going to make up for it over the next 30 to 45 to 60 to 75 minutes, whatever it ends
up being.
We're going to try.
As best as that the Talking Bear Football Podcast on westbranchfootball.com can do.
You know, you've got that down.
How about that intro?
That was, see, you just slip right in to the show and don't even worry about what's happening before.
No music. It's going right in.
All right. Speaking of, we're going right in. That's not exactly what happened last Friday night. We did go right in on a bus or in the vehicle I rode or whatever, your car, or your van, right into Wapello on the road to the school, to the game. Mm-hmm. We did go right in on the, you know, right in on the vehicles.
Yes.
Well, what I'm getting out of here is the Bears didn't really get right in to getting an offensive flow into that game until the third quarter. Halftime score, West Branch 14-7. Matt, West Branch only had 20 plays in the first half.
I think the referee crew had more time of possession than the Bear than the Bear offense did. If I'm not mistaken on that one, it was pretty close.
That's not a complaint on the calls.
I'm not saying that they were making a lot of bad calls. It's just that's just what was happening. They made sure that they discussed it and got the play right.
I've never seen so many huddles and discussions about a call at the high school level.
I think there was a game we had earlier this year that took quite a while too.
Well, the good news is quite a while it got the job done because the Bears won in the end, 42-21 in the third quarter. Absolutely, the Bears' offense. I think if they would have left the first team offense rolling throughout the second half, I seriously think they could have, the way it was rolling, probably could have put up 70 or 80 points, no problem, in the second half. It was rolling.
Yeah, I usually, you know, as we've seen over the last few seasons, at least that we've been, you know, paying close attention to the football program in the way that we do now, you can pretty much guarantee it that if the Bears have a flat first half, things are going to be totally different in the second half. That just seems to be always the way it goes. And that doesn't always transpire into a win, but the Butch Peterson's teams usually play kind of, they play extremely well in the second half. As I said, even if it doesn't result in a win.
Somebody that looked really good, a combination, we'll just say, that looked really good in the first half. Matt, I'm going to say it again, dare I go? Showtime was back in town.
He's back in town.
Cooper Koenig and Matt Shaver connected on the first drive, coming right out of the box. The Bears, no, actually, was it the second drive, actually? Yes, it was.
Second drive.
32 yards. Shaver was wide open along the east sidelines, which is the home sidelines. And if you're up in the press box going right on your webcast dial, left or right on the webcast dial.
Not the radio dial. On your keyboard. Left or right on your keyboard.
And the Bears got up. And it was a textbook. I mean, it was such a beautiful route, wide open, and the defender was about 15 yards behind, didn't even try to catch up. I like those kind of routes. I like those wide open things.
Yeah, and next possession maybe?
Two possessions later.
I know it was in the second quarter because we flipped sides. We're going right to left on your keyboard from the press box this time.
This was after Wapello tied the game up.
And this was right before half, wasn't it?
Right before half. Right there before were 2 minutes and 58 seconds when the Bears got the ball.
Yeah, 2 minutes and 58 seconds. The Indians punted. And I guess let's just say the ball was placed at the 1-inch line.
It was.
It was down there, even though the Wapello defender had half of his body in the end zone.
And who was the first person to mention that too?
Everybody saw it. but regardless, yeah, so the Bears pretty much went 99.99999 yards in 2 minutes and 58 seconds or whatever it was. There was a minute left in the half.
Yes,
so
they did it in about less than two minutes.
2 minute offense. Started off with Cooper Koenig, I think like three straight quarterback sneaks up the middle to kind of get him some breathing room, whether he's going to pass or, you know, handing it off in the backfield. Just that way, nothing crazy happens. Yeah, and really just they just marched their way right down the field and capped it off with another good pass to Showtime right over the defender to go in the end zone with a minute left before half. And I think that really swung the momentum in the Bears' way.
On that drive, though, a wonderful screen pass setting things up. Yeah. Nice out route to Kindon along the West Branch sideline.
Yep.
And then another pass play, I think, across the middle to Kindon.
Kindon jumped up and right. Got it.
And you can see all of those plays in the highlight package Matt put together on the website.
Yep.
We know you've watched it by now, but if you haven't, or just watch it again. All these things we're telling you are in the highlight package that Matt has either on the front page of the website, highlights and recap of the game, or you can go to the schedule page, click on the team, drop the arrow down, and everything that we have that we put together, your highlight package, the recap, the game capsule, photos, and then
stats,
Bearcast audio, and then stats, and then this Talking Bear Football podcast
from WestBranchFootball.com.
Powered by Matt this week. What the heck? But all total, final score, West Branch 42-21. By quarter scoring, West Branch 7-7-20-8 in the fourth quarter. Wapello 0-7-0-14 in the fourth quarter. Were two long runs, 90-yard run, and a 72-yard run late in the fourth quarter. Great for them. Great for those kids to build some confidence, but West Branch, you got to give kids the opportunity to play that. Work their tail off in practice. Coach Peterson called off the dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of waiting to happen for Wapello to bust one of those runs. I think it was their fullback. I forget.
The first one was Tariq Green.
Tariq Green busted,
Rogan Forts, number 26.
I think he had many just kind of right up the gut, 10, 12-yard runs all night.
Yeah.
They did a wonderful job running that play or variation of that play multiple times, and got quite a few yards on the Bears. And our defensive backs had to make stops. Just one of them where he was able to bust through everybody and make it in the end zone.
Well, final scoring total was 42-21. We gave you the quarter by quarter yardage total breakdown. West Branch had 353 total yards, gave up 301. To the Indians. And we just mentioned 161 of those were on two carries in the fourth quarter. So basically West Branch's defense gave up about 140 yards, if you really want to get technical on that. Cooper Koenig, 9 of 15, 147 yards, Matt, and 3 touchdown scores. But man, like I mentioned it before, he really looked comfortable in that 2 minute that set him up. No huddle. Sort of at the or huddle when it was out of bounds, just a quick set. He didn't look frazzled whatsoever.
No, and that's great to have as we head into two huge games to finish out this regular season. I mean, we'll talk about week 8 here soon, but it's just great to see not only leadership from your quarterback, leadership from a senior, but just the guy who he touches the ball pretty much every play. Unless there's like some sort of direct snap or something. That's why I said pretty much. It's just great to see the confidence and poise and maturity out of him. And I think having that no huddle, quick 2 minute offense helps that because you're not thinking about each play. You're just going up there executing and you're thinking less. So that's kind of when you're kind of your natural ability and thinking comes out when you're not taking your time between each play, having the time to think. It's just go, 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 go. I got to make plays. I got to get down the field. And I like that. And Cooper did well under that situation, and so did the entire team.
And you watch that at the college level, the pro level. The leaders come out, obviously. The better player, the good leaders can know how. They're the field generals in that situation. But the athlete in a kid or a player can come out in that as well. And I think it really did on that drive, and it gave the Bears some confidence going in the second half. And I think, and I know that Coach Tiley and the staff for making some changes on offense and really getting things working. And I know John Hirschman saw something up in the booth. Coach Tiley, they count on the guys that are up in the booth.
Yeah.
I think assistant coach John Hirschman, fresh off football coach, saw something up in the booth and may have given a mention of that to Coach Tiley. He said, hey, I think this will work. And by golly, in the second half, it did. Mm-hmm. Luke Lennock ran to the total of 180 yards on 18 carries, 179, 180, so 10 yards a pop. Three touchdowns, 46, 32, and I think it's a 4-8 on the other one. It was a shortish one.
I think it was
nice
four,
cut back
probably.
Lane to the left,
I think it was
for
four,
him.
Yeah.
He had three touchdowns, so between he and Koenig, all six touchdowns went through them. You know, last year, Matt, we were kind of spoiled with some of the yardage that Lennox was putting up. He's still putting up great yardage.
Yeah,
he's
just at 100, not 100,
it's just
flashy.
I know, we haven't seen a 324-yard gain yet. It's not important because in the end, he's averaging 10 yards a pop. That's a first down every play, by the way. You know, we talked about that. I could take 4 yards a run. That's a first down every three plays.
Mm-hmm.
But his offensive line is getting better and better each and every week. And when we get into talking about the next opponent, it's going to be very important. Every game, the offensive line is important. But this week, it's going to be very important that they limit their mistakes and the defense limits the turnover, you know, can get a few turnovers and the offense limits theirs.
You mentioned Lennock rushing so far. On the season, he has 1,125, which, I mean, what is that per game?
You're looking at seven games? I mean, you're looking at 150-ish?
160.
Yeah. That's not too bad.
Pretty good.
And you look at Koenig, what's he got
passing? Koenig's at 1,089.
So basically,
passing. You know, they're still neck and neck after this week. And with this game, they both eclipsed the 1,000-yard mark.
Yeah.
I think after last week, they were basically right about 945 each.
Yeah.
So they got over that hurdle this year, and they're on good paces.
They are. And if specifically, if Koenig can stay on this pace, I mean, it's an individual thing,
right.
But there's a possibility.
It means
he could break.
It typically means your team's doing well.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
a lot of things that have to happen.
There are. But when you look back at this game, Matt, what are the things you take from it, this Wapello football game?
What I take away is that we were able to adjust and come out in the second half and, you know, really just put the game away. Take the wind out of Wapello's sails. You know, at halftime there in the second quarter, they were probably feeling pretty good, pretty confident that they have the number two team in the state. They're down 14-7 at half, and they're having pretty good success running the ball against the West Branch defense. So, I think just our ability to adjust at halftime, not get too nervous, worked up, concerned, anything like that. Just come out, play West Branch football, put that game away in the third quarter. Both passing, running, and on the defensive end. That's what was most impressive to me. Regardless of who you're playing, if you can do that against any team, you're gonna, I'll likely take you to win that game.
I like this team again. Came out a little bit ugly. They came not a little ugly, but just a little
yep.
bit, you know,
not,
ragged, so
right.
to speak. But it continues. I don't care if you're playing the number one team in the state or someone that's not number one. To be able to get that flow back on the offensive side of the football, and they did. Because right now, I mean, this team is in the top four in the class in offensive scoring. I mean, 31 is the lowest amount of points this team put up. 31 and 38 are the only times this team hasn't put up 40, is that right, all year in games 3 and 4, every other game they put up at least 40?
I think the average is right at 40 almost.
Yeah.
Let me check here.
I mean, I know the defensive average is going to be a little bit more bloated because it happens. In the game, teams get scores. That's just life. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like how this – I like this. I like that this team is able to bounce back and make some changes. Mm-hmm. Coaches make some changes, and this team will answer the bell.
Yeah.
On that. So we're closing this one up.
41.5.
41.5
points
offensive
game.
Points per game.
404 yards a game.
All right. That's not too bad.
No.
I'd take that right now and not play another game. If you can tell me right now, we'll just take 41 points. All right. Go ahead.
You know, I think it's pretty good, too, is our third down conversion rate's right about 50%, and our fourth down is 75. So those are pretty key things. I mean, if you're converting on half of your third down plays, it's good.
It's not bad.
You know?
What it means is you're going to have those.
Right.
And as the season wears on and you get into the playoffs. Playoffs? Talking about playoffs? Yeah, we can talk about a team going to be in the playoffs. We don't know who they're going to play yet. But first things first, we've still got a couple more games on the season that, correct me if I'm wrong, they might mean a little bit.
Yes.
They might have a little bit of meaning to them.
Jay, I'm going to have to cut you off right there.
What? What happened?
Cubs.
Cubs win!
Cubs win!
Holy cow!
Holy Toledo!
Cubs win!
6-4.
Oh, you know what, though? We're Cub fans, but we're also gracious winners. So we want to congratulate the St. Louis Cardinals on a great regular
season.
They
had the best record in baseball.
They had the best record in baseball this season, and well-deserved.
Absolutely.
Congratulations to them on that.
Yeah, they are a great team.
And my brother-in-law is big, and my sister, they're big Cardinal
I
fans.
Know
congratulations to them.
There are some people that are close to me that are very big Cardinals fans.
Yep.
And I had the pleasure of watching quite a bit this season.
And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being a fan, because we are.
Fans
We're
of baseball.
We're just fans. So there's the Cubs. We're going to get back to their older counterpart, the Bears. Get that? the Cubs, the Bears. West Branch Cubs play, it used to be the Cubs at the junior high level.
At the junior high level.
Now we're just Bears.
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 I like it.
So Cubs win.
Go Cubs go.
Moving on. Go Cubs go.
So as you were saying, Wilton.
Wilton. Yeah, it was, I was saying that. So Wilton comes into this game having not lost.
In the district.
They are now 4-3. I believe overall.
Yep.
That means they're 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
4 wins, 0 losses.
And they're
in Class 1A District 5.
Their 3 losses were to pretty decent
non-district
teams.
Williamsburg,
mm-hmm.
who are top
Good.
10 kind of capable teams.
Yeah.
And by the way, Meepo plays West Burlington on Friday night. So that'll be a fun one for that. West Burlington, for all that pomp and circumstance we heard earlier in the season, has to win out to make the playoffs. They got to meet Meepo Friday night, and that's a tall task.
Yeah, I think so. Wilton's 3 out of district were all against 2A.
And Louisa Muscatine being the other one.
Yeah.
Who just beat West Burlington like 62-14 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be much fun.
No. So you look at 4-3 and you're like, oh, well, we got this, right?
Yeah.
No. I mean, there's so much on the line tonight, or on Friday night. Just West Branch versus Wilton, I mean, that's enough in and of itself.
There's some fun there.
In and
back
of
a few years.
Of itself, but yeah, and I'm just with all the history that surrounds that, you all know it. But then, whoever wins this game, that's pretty much.
Seat.
Yeah, you're.
They are.
I mean, going
in
into week nine, you're sitting pretty in the district going into the last week of the season.
Okay.
There's a lot of circumstances here, but it's a must win for both teams.
Well,
I don't want to say you control your own destiny because that just doesn't make sense.
That doesn't work for me either.
It doesn't make
sense.
So
at the end of this, before we close up shop and pass in the songbooks, you bring this back up and we will talk playoff math because believe it or not, I actually have it in my head. I know that might surprise a few of you folks.
I tried to take some time to figure out our third and fourth place finishers, but I just didn't do it.
Let me help you. I'm not going to worry about them so much.
The third, the fourth.
As West Branch portion of it, we will get to that.
Okay.
But first things first, Wilton is that team you mentioned. There's some good history. But they are playing on a high. I mean, they played and beat an Albarnett team who was undefeated on the season.
Mm-hmm.
24-17 last Friday night. Hopefully for Albarnett, they bounce back and, get everybody back to health and everything because I expect nothing but a wonderful football game in week 9. I expect the same here Friday night, Matt, at the Little Rose Bowl, right outside this closed little.
We're on location.
Here. We are on location at the LRB, the historic Little Rose Bowl,
mm-hmm.
if you will,
at Oliphant Street Field.
At Oliphant Street Field, but we haven't opened up the gates this week because it's a little chill. It's
mm-hmm.
chilly in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday night, by the way, game temperature, Friday high is sun. It's gonna be sunshine again. No rain. No 112 heat index. You might be hoping for it, but it's football weather. 53 for a high that day, 32 the projected low. So that means game time temperature, there's going to be a chill in the air. It's going to be about 40 degrees and might feel a little cooler. So bundle up. You're in for a nice, cool football game. That's what it's about. Football mm-hmm. Fridays to me aren't rainy,
nope.
Obviously. They're not Saturday mornings. They aren't 112 degrees in August.
It's they're October.
It's October now. It's time for that chill. Get that fall Friday night football, rather. Right, Matthew?
Absolutely.
That's right. He's Matt Chenander, and he's the best color man, whatever, in the business for an answer just like that. Absolutely. I mean, no question about it.
I don't know what else you want me to say about that.
Not much else. Didn't really need anything. It just, you did.
You know, you mentioned looking ahead, not looking ahead. I think we can. We're fans.
We are fans.
We can look ahead.
We're going to look ahead to Wilton here first. Let's give the people okay. a little bit of follow-up.
And then we'll talk playoffs.
They do a lot of similar things to what West Branch does, Matt. They're going to go out of shotgun the majority of the time. They like to spread the field out. Sometimes they'll do some tight sets. They're going to do a lot of they're going to do some jet sweeps and fake jet sweeps. They're going to try to catch you on a reverse. They're also going to try to catch you like they did against West Branch in 2012. They caught the Bears napping on a double pass. Pass out to the wing. As long as it's behind the line of scrimmage, you may throw two forward passes.
Mm-hmm.
You may even you can throw six. But they threw one pass out to the side. The Bears defenders bit. And
well, you can only ever throw one forward pass.
No, you can throw two. By rule, you could literally throw a forward pass.
A forward, as long as they stay behind the line of scrimmage.
They can throw it again.
I see. Gotcha.
Funky rule in football. This game is funky once in a while.
Oh, well.
How funky is your chicken? That's really funky. But also on the same night, the Bears got caught. First play out of the box that night. And I look for this the Beavers to run this on Friday, Matt. A hook to Caleb Schmidt, the latter to Coy Snyder, who were the players that year, and down the east sidelines, which if you're in the press box, it's right to left on your webcast dial, on the Bears sidelines for the game's first score. The Bears really never caught up that night. So what I'm saying is they're going to do some exotics, as Hayden Fry used to call it. They're going to come. They're going to try to throw the kitchen sink at you. But it all starts, Matt, with Javon Drake, the team's quarterback.
Yeah, I want to say fortunately didn't get to experience him last year as he was injured when we went down to Wilton in week 8. But he's going to be back this year, and he's one of their major guys that, we keep saying this each week, there's a small handful of guys on each team that if we can shut down, we'd be sitting pretty. And so you kind of see who their other players are that can step up and, fill in the void. So I keep coming back to that every week, but you stop him. You stop their two of their major playmakers.
You're probably
gonna our chances. Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
Well, Drake, in fact, hurt you with the arm, with his arm. He's thrown for almost 1,100 yards. He's got 7 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. He's also ran for almost 600 yards. He's getting 7-8 yards a pop, I believe. So, I mean, you're talking a kid that when you give him space, he's going to take off with the football. Even with the sack yardage on him, he's still gaining 7, 8, 9 yards a pop. And then you've got a couple other guys you got to keep your eye on. You got to keep your eye on Bryce Olvesen, who's the team's leading rusher with about 700, 800 yards. The two leading receivers, Evan Reifert, by the way, was the quarterback last year in Drake's absence, and also Cody Navarro. They lead the team in receptions and receiving yards.
A lot of experience.
Yes.
Coming back.
Mostly
that's
juniors.
Huge. Yeah, absolutely. And that's huge.
Yeah. Other than Drake, he's a senior. But their line is a new line. It's very similar situation to what the Bears have, except for
skill players coming back, but
the line is very young. They've got 3 sophomores up front. Size-wise, again, not very many teams are going to be able to match up helmet-to-helmet size, weight-wise, with West Branch. Strength and weight-wise, very few teams in 1A are going to be able to do that. This team is a little bit smaller, but they're very athletic. They're widery, a little widery. All they need to do is give Drake 2 to 4 seconds. He's making great reads when you watch him on film. He knows his pre-snap reads very, very well. He's got 2 guys that he can really trust throwing the football to him. On the team that I mentioned, in Reifert and Navarro, and he's completed 73 passes, 49 of them combined to those two gentlemen right there. So he's got guys he can trust, Matt.
Yeah.
And that's half the battle.
Yep.
In this game, when you got a brand new offensive line, sometimes you can just throw it up in the air.
Yeah.
And trust the playmakers is going to make a play.
Yeah, it's going to be important for Lennox and Tucker and Chauver there on the edge. Even Barnes, if he has to go out there, to really, stay close on their guys, cut away any slants, quick outs, anything like that. Because quarterback's got to get, he's got to get his pass off quickly before that line breaks. You know, he's looking for some quick slants, quick outs, anything like that. So cornerbacks, you're going to have to play tight. Not be too handsy, but make not plays on handy. The ball too.
Yes, and then you got it. No, that there's going to need to be some athletic plays. Like, yeah, that's a key word for me this week. For a few other weeks ago, we had those fun words. I'm just going to get back to the nuts and bolts of you got to be an athlete. You're going to need to make some athletic plays on defense when you've got big time playmakers. First at the quarterback and Drake, and then those yep. two gentlemen I mentioned. And then you throw in Ovison, who's got some speed coming out of the backfield. They've got some guys that can go match helmet on helmet with the Bears, man. Mm-hmm. So, you wanted to know some playoff math. Glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
If the Bears are victorious, and we hope they are.
Let's throw out some scenarios here.
Here's your scenario. Matt and I are going to give our scores later of what we think this team, what the game outcome is going to be. My score is going to reflect the first and hopeful scenario that we have.
Yep.
First of all, the Bears need to win. We want the Bears to win.
Yep.
And I'm going to predict them to win. Matt, I'm going to go on a limb and say you probably will as well.
Yeah, probably.
We will get to that. If the Bears win by more than 13 points or more,
right.
which myself, I'm going to predict that later. And I will get to that. Matt, we'll get to your score as well later. Mm-hmm. My score will not be 19-18, I can promise you. If the Bears win by 13 or more, win and do so by 13 or more points. No, they have the tiebreaker on Wilton by beating Wilton at that point.
Yep.
Then if they win the Week 9 game against Alburnett, at Alburnett, it's a moot point.
Regardless M-O-O-T. Of points, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't yep. matter. But the scenario as I was going to get to is 13 or more points if the Bears were to lose in Week 9 to Alburnett by 12 or less points, they would be the district champion based on the first tiebreaker, second tiebreaker. First yeah. tiebreaker is head-to-head, which would mean Wilton beat Alburnett. Alburnett would have beaten, you know, will have beaten West Branch in this scenario.
Yep.
Then the second tiebreaker is you go to the 13-point rule, and it takes care of what it was supposed to take care of about 8 years ago when Caleb Walter and Tyler Bailey were seniors. I'm going to bring it back up. A little emotional about that when you're 8-1 and you don't even make the playoffs, and now teams in 4A are 2-7 and they're making it. There's a problem with the playoff system today. That's my Stephen.
Well, they're fixing it next year.
They're fixing it next year. God. Skip Bayless. There's a problem with it. Okay. And so let's hope that scenario doesn't happen. I mean, obviously, dream scenario, Matt. Just win both of them. Take
well,
care.
Leave
no doubt.
That's all they have to do.
Leave no doubt. That's the scenario.
I mean, that's all they have to do. I'm just saying
that's
that
all they we want.
If
them
you just
to do.
Win two
it's
games, you win two
you
games.
You play to win the game.
Even if you win by 1 point, you're still going to be district champs.
Yes.
But yeah, if we beat Wilton, I think it's we've got a good shot. I mean. Regardless, if we beat Wilton,
we're hosting a full home football playoff.
We'll be second, right? Mostly, yeah.
No matter what, we are home winning yeah. Friday night. The Bears will host a home playoff game at least one.
Yep.
By winning Friday, because they're going to be the first or second.
Worst
seed.
Possible, we'd be second seed.
That's correct.
Yep.
But again, if the Bears were to lose
both
games, guess where they fall to?
Third.
They fall to third, and they would be back on the road
back on
again.
The road.
Yeah, that REO Speedwagon song. We don't want that.
No.
We're going to be on the road in Week 9. That's as far as the road's going to take us for the next few weeks after
Let's
that.
Let's hope.
But Wilton, Matt, we've given them some players. We've given them some hope, some prognosis, some other things going on that night. It's obviously it's senior night, so we're going to give appreciation to the 11, I think it's 12 senior football players, three cheerleaders. Before the game, the band will take care of their seniors at halftime of the contest. But that's 15 seniors and a senior, two senior managers, I believe, as well. So we got 17 players, cheerleaders, managers that we're going to recognize right out here on this field on Friday. It's going to be my voice you hear, and I apologize for that in advance. So we got to thank them for all they've done for their respective program, whatever they're part of, be it football, cheerleading, or being a football manager. And Kimmy Gould, I'm going to go on record and say she is one of the best I've been around. She's been basically the captain of this team as the managers for three seasons since she was a sophomore. anything that needs to be done, Kimmy will get it done. Anything that needs to be picked up on the sideline, if we're freaking something at the high school and we're home, she'll drive out in her own car and grab it. She'll see to it that the players are taken care of on the with water, whatever, you know, equipment they need to protect themselves on the field or fixed anything, she's there right away to help out. And you can't ask for much better than that.
Absolutely.
We're pretty spoiled with her on the sidelines. And of course, she, you know, her mother is as the manager, the football.
She's done as much as Kim has.
She's done that. And her sister's been a manager. Her little brother's in sixth grade. He helps out. So it's a family that gives and gives, a very selfless family when it comes to being a manager. Being a manager is not the most it's not the most exciting job in the end, exciting task.
Rewarding.
But you know what? She does it, and she does it well. So thank her for that. So we're going to get through that. But also Friday, Matt, we're going to get a do-over.
That's right.
For the Armed Forces Appreciation Night, brother. Tell you something right now, brother.
Brother.
We're going to come out and we're going to support and we're going to appreciate all that the men and women of our armed forces do to protect our freedoms, to allow us to live in this country we call America, United States of America. And some of those same freedoms allow us, Matt, to do what we're doing right now on this podcast, or let the kids do what they're doing on this football field and not worry about outside attack.
Absolutely.
Because they're Americans and they can be proud of that. And they can be proud to be at West Branch, wear that jersey, having that Stars and Stripes flag on the back of their helmet, to be thankful for all the things that these people have done. And some of those people that are going to be a part of this that have been the people behind the scenes are Dave and Kathy McElrath have done a ton. We mentioned them about a month ago when first time around, but Dave's done a ton. Brandon Keeler, the Iowa National Guard. There's going to be equipment here. I mean, there's going to be some big trucks here. There's going to be some other things happening. I mean, there's going to be a parachute jumper. We can announce it was out there the first
time. Okay, all right.
They're going to be jumping just before the game. You're going to want to get here really early. 6:30 kickoff.
Yep.
We hadn't even mentioned that yet, but it's a 6:30 kickoff, not 7. So if you're wanting to be here for senior night festivities, you better be here by 5:30. 5:45, you're going to be late. So if you want to be here for this, the kids are going to walk at 5:20. Usually it's an hour before the game. This time they're going to be at the corner at 5:20 ready to ride up Oliphant Street, the walk, click, clack, click, clack.
Back in Black.
Back in Black, brother. It's going to be playing right here on the speakers. And you want to be here by 5:20 to see that. 5:35. It's going to be senior night festivities. And then everything's going to start rocking and rolling about 5:45, 5:50. Kids stretch and we get right into it. And then you see all that fun stuff that goes on, all the pomp and circumstance around here. And then about 6:20, 6:25, going to be seeing things in the sky. Don't adjust your vision. You are seeing it. Those are men jumping in to come in. It's just kind of an extra thing that not many schools are going to get.
No, it's going to be a very emotional night just because we're have to pack the Military Appreciation Night and Senior Night all into one event. So it's going to be, just outside of the game itself, it's going to be a pretty special night.
You can't. There's not many things better than a good football Friday. In the middle of October, man.
At the Little Rose Bowl. Yep.
Here at Oliphant Street Field. Rededicated Little Rose Bowl in 1949, by the way, if you want some history. There it is.
Thank you.
So, Matt, I think that we've come to that time-honored tradition in the 2 years we've been doing this, a little over a year, but time-honored tradition on this program, pick the score.
Yep.
Who you got?
It's that time.
Who you got and what you got. West Branch hosting Wilton, Matthew.
Let's review last week first.
Let's review some score. You know, before you give us what you got, yeah. I guess we better review some scores. And while you are looking those up, and you can start, I'm going to take a shot at this.
Okay.
And you fill in what I miss.
Okay.
We are thankful and so humbled by the many sponsors and people who have offered generous donations to allow us, the Bearcast, well, westbranchfootball.com, all the work Matt and the little work that I do was a part of that football site, and the Bearcast with Stephen and Quinn and sideline Jerry Flagel. And then the podcast with Matt and myself for this wonderful equipment we get to use and to be able to put that up each and every year and pay for all every game, every week, whatever. I want to talk about Liberty Communications here at home. is off, you know, is generously offered a trade of services. We certainly are going to give them their due and mention them over and over. Steven and Quinny do a great job of that on Friday for sure. Have given us an internet service, hardwire service here, so we can do that for all the home, the Bearcast for all the home games. We're actually bumped into that right now here as we're doing the podcast up in the press box. We want to thank them for that. It's a very powerful signal, and we thank them for offering that to us each and every week, Matt. Mm-hmm. Bauer Drywall, EMS Detergent Services, that's Dan and Julie Hayes.
Julie and Dan Hayes,
sorry. Yes. I messed that up. Julie comes first, and Dan will tell you that. She definitely does. Plato Farms, Brent and Deb Donahall and their family. Casa Tequila.
Yep.
Main Street Suites. Mm-hmm. The West Branch Times, Gregory Norfleet, for all the wonderful photos that he offers us each and every week. You can go, again, you can see some of those photos as part of the recap story that Matt puts together with the highlight package each week. Let me know if I'm missing any.
You got them.
Are you sure? You sure we got them all there?
Mm-hmm.
Hodge Construction's another one. And if I missed
sponsors you, of our player profile, where we've been talking to seniors each week throughout the season. This week's will be with Cooper Koenig.
Koenig, yep. That's how you pronounce
so
that.
So look for that Friday afternoon on the website. And then also at that time, too, will be a Liberty Communications Assistant Coach Minute. Steven got the chance to talk with Chris Robertson, head fresh off coach. So check
that's
out
Bob.
That as well.
That's Bob Robertson right there. Chris Robertson, number 58 in the program back in his playing days. Number one in your heart.
Mm-hmm. And then, he was my assistant coach in high school.
Yes, sir.
For both basketball and football.
How'd you work that out? Money? Money under the table?
I liked him.
Kept him around?
I liked him.
Yeah. Go Cubs, go.
Go Cubs,
go. Go Cubs, go. We'll say it again.
All right.
So
this
scores. Give
so
it to us from last week.
Score. We only had one person comment.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. Sideline Tommy. He had 49-13.
What was your score, by the way?
He did not copy
he didn't.
This.
Okay, I'm just checking in on
it. It was 49-7, I think I chose. Something like that, maybe. His pick to click was Jacob Steika.
All right, Steik. He had the last 2 weeks. He had big plays.
Yeah, he did.
And they tried again this week, just didn't come to fruition.
Nope, absolutely. I can't remember who I had.
What do you mean you can't remember who you had?
I need to start writing these down.
You need to write these down. I don't remember who you had either. Actually, Cale Donovan, I think, might have been your choice.
Was it?
I think it might have been.
Probably.
But you know what? Since we can't remember.
The Bears won.
The Bears won. Anybody else? New guy?
I'm trying to see here. So Mike Westcott.
Yeah.
He wrote him. He said, "Hi, guys. I hope all is well." Thank you, Mike. I think West Branch will win Friday.
His name's Mike, by the way. Is it Mike?
I think West Branch will win Friday 49-7. Pick to click is Luke Lennox.
That away.
Domination on the ground.
Using up his one-time Bieber regular season Lennox choice.
That's all I had this week.
Okay. That's for
it's
last
unacceptable.
Week? Yeah.
Yeah, for last week, yeah.
This is not, I mean, we're not even, from now on.
We're not even going to pick a winner.
We're not
going to
do it anymore.
No.
If you're not going to do it, forget it.
Nope.
It's not fun for us anymore.
Well, this week.
Matt, this is great. It's been fun doing this podcast. I guess we're not going to do it anymore. People aren't going to participate.
Nope.
Mrs. Giese, we got your back on the walk. I know we're a little late. Gregory Norfleet, we're late for your Monday breakfast. But you know you can use it for your Wednesday breakfast now.
Yep.
Matt, West Branch, hosting Wilton. Who you got? What you got? Look around the walls in here. All the history. All the scores. Use one.
I'm going to go with 42-14.
West
Branch.
That's funny. If you look over your left shoulder, it says 42-13. Bearish win. WB takes title.
Are you going to do that one?
42-13. WB takes district title. Bearish win 42-13. I'm going to go 41-13? Yes, 41-13. I'm going to go 42-13. It's just too much of a sign for me.
Absolutely.
That was going to be it. That was it for me. 42-13
literally
is mine.
Literally a sign.
It's a sign, and we're looking right at it. Bearish win, West Branch takes district title,
that's
42-13.
That's from, I was about a month old.
1992, I believe. That was the state championship.
Nope, it was 91.
91?
I was a month old.
Yeah.
November 21st.
Oh, I'll be done. That was a great time. It was a great win.
I remember.
Bears won state title. That was a good time. I remember everything about, what were you doing that night after the game?
I couldn't tell you. I was a month old, probably sleeping.
Filling diapers?
Sleeping.
Eating?
Yep.
Celebrating?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, those running bananas and out of the little jug.
Mm, carrots.
You can't beat it.
Carrots.
You can't beat it. Peas. So those are the scores for Matt and myself.
Who's your pick to click?
My pick to click? Luke Lenock?
Can't.
Dang it.
You already took him.
You caught me. You caught me, boss. You caught me. Stick in, Sammy?
I wish.
He graduated? Oh, gosh. I guess that leaves me with just this choice. And this choice only. Because he's going to have to play a really good game on both sides of the football for West Branch to be successful. To stop Drake and stop his motioning out to the left or right side, you're going to need to collapse the end. You're going to collapse the pocket for him and hopefully the linebackers can fill. But I'm going to take Cooper Cobbler.
I like that pick. I would like for him to click.
Yeah, I do.
Good things happens when he gets the ball.
It does.
Usually.
Bears never lost when he's at score a touchdown.
It's true.
Two touchdowns in his career, two Bear victories.
Same with
Hunter
Wargo. He is not my pick to click. He'd be a good one, though.
Which one?
Wargo would be.
Both of them would be.
Well, they would be, yeah.
If they click, it's good.
Yeah.
Clicking is good.
But I got to use it up at least sometime this season.
It's fine. Whatever you
I've waited.
Do. You've waited. Double L's?
Mm-hmm.
Luke
32. Lanock. Cool hand, Luke.
Luke Lenock.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's a good choice.
Thank you.
That's a really good choice.
Thank you.
Those are our choices, Matt.
Yep.
So give the spiel.
We want to hear from you listeners.
Yeah, we want to hear.
Where your pick to click is and your score prediction. You know the drill. If you're listening to this on the website, scroll down a little bit. There's a comment section. Tell us right there. If you don't want to leave your comment there and you want to email us or you're listening on iTunes and you're not listening on the website, send an email to contact@westbranchfootball.com. Let us know your pick to click and your score prediction. You can also write on our Facebook page. You can send us a message on Twitter, Instagram. We're not on Snapchat or Periscope. So
no?
Those are your places.
Okay, those are your places.
Let us know.
And if you're listening to this, you've got about another day, I think. I don't know if it ends tonight or tomorrow. But the Channel 6 in the Quad Cities, KWQC, I believe.
I think so.
Has the 6 spotlight game they do every week. And West Branch is one of the 6 or 7 games. West Branch Wilton, rather. Wilton at West Branch is one of the games up for vote. West Branch has already been voted into that game once against the West Burlington Notre Dame game was the 6 spotlight game. Right now, well, as of about 43 minutes and 48 seconds ago, the Bears were leading the voting by just shy of 10% over Rock Island Alleman's game. You got to understand the Alleman game. Alleman is a private school. It's about three, four times bigger than West Branch. So if we get more votes than those big schools, you know, I've probably voted 27 times. If they're going to let me vote that many times, I'm just going to keep voting until I just, okay, that's enough. I've done my part. So if you want to do your part, tell you what Matt will do.
I'll put it on the website.
We will put it on the website. We'll tweet a link, which will go to the Facebook.
Yep.
I've already got one on my Twitter. I'll forward it. You know, Matt will take that. We'll make it work. So let's make that happen. Among other things, I think the Press Citizens is going to be in town. I know there's another game going on about 8 miles away that they're worried about, too. But this is another district championship game, so we're going to have some credit there. Cedar Rapids Gazette, I know, is going to be covered. WestBranchFootball.com is going to be in the house. And the West Branch Times is going to be here.
WestBranchFootball.com.
Got a call from the Inquirer. I told them.
No.
Yeah, they're too big for us.
Yeah, WestBranchFootball.com decided they'd come to this game. They're going to make the trip.
Since when?
And they said they're going to make the trip. They're going to bring their radio crew and everything.
So it's in their travel budget?
Yeah, I guess.
It's about time.
Yeah.
This is their one game.
Yeah.
That we got, you know, to pay for their one time to travel. That's their Justin Bieber one time.
Yeah, the CEO, Butch Peterson over there, decided to let them
go ahead and let them do that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Best
There's no question.
That's a great decision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, well, I. Well, no, there. Yep.
I think that's it.
You see him over there? Yep. I don't see the songbooks on the counter anymore, Matt. What's that mean?
They took them away.
They passed them in. But one thing they haven't taken away, we're right now.
It's coming back.
It's here.
It's coming back.
AVI, CII, take us out, my man. I don't know. It doesn't work. You know, you have to say that at the end, don't we?
Yeah.
Let's try that again.
Okay.
So you've been listening to
the Talking Bear Football Podcast on westbranchfootball.com.
Take care, everyone. Man, who's it? That's
it's Avicii.
Hear the crowd clapping. This is what we want Friday night at kickoff, baby. AVI, CII, take us out, my man. That's Avicii. Go Bears.